Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Reads in the Workplace. So in Parshas Acharimos, the Torah tells us, Al kino marti livnei Yisrael kol nefesh mikem lo sochal dam, vehager hagar b'sochachem lo yochal dam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Klal Yisrael that no member of the Jewish nation should consume blood, and so too no convert should consume any blood. Dam is off limits. So from this injunction of lo sochal dam, the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, derives that an adult is not allowed to feed a child dam, not allowed to give blood to a child. And the Gemara uses the phrase, lahazhir gedolim al haktanim, that adults are incumbent upon adults is not to give off-limits non-kosher foods to children. So Rashi explains that the way that we get this from the pasuk is because the phrase lo sochal dam is unnecessary, because in a bunch of other places in the Torah tells us not to consume dam. And therefore, we can use this as to teach an additional element that that bars adults from feeding dam to children. The Gemara notes two other contexts in which the Torah admonishes us in the same fashion, one of which is not to eat bugs, shratzim. The Torah says that adults are not allowed to feed these non-kosher bugs to katanim either. And in addition to that, it also teaches us this halacha with respect to tumas meis at the beginning of Parshas Emor. From the words emor and ve'amarta, the Gemara learns from there that gedolim, adults, are not allowed to cause children, kohanim, who are children, to become tamei lemis. So this whole idea, this whole concept, is known as the isur of sefia lekatan, the prohibition for an adult to feed something non-kosher or to cause a child to do an avera. And this is recorded in Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim Simin Shin Mem Gimel. There is a machlokes amongst the Rishonim as to whether this prohibition is the Oraisa or the Rabbanan. We do derive it from Psukim, but whether those Psukim are meant to be taken literally, whether these extrapolations are meant to be taken literally, or rather as an asmachta, as just a hint or a remez to this halacha, that's a machlokes. The Ritva in Yevamos was of the opinion that this is a real halacha mid Oraisa, that adults are not allowed to feed these non-kosher things to children, whereas others, the Kiryas Sefer, assumes that according to the Rambam, this would be only midrabbanon. But whether this way or that way, certainly we conclude with this halacha that adults are responsible to ensure, that adults are not allowed to feed non-kosher items to children. The Isser Safiya Lakata. So I want to focus on this idea today, and I want to explore the following questions. First, I want to get to the bottom of this prohibition. What's the character of this prohibition of Sefia Lekata? And secondly, how, if at all, does the source for the prohibition reflect back on the prohibition, on the character of the prohibition? What's the connection between the source and the nature of the Yisr? And finally, we're going to examine just a little bit the scope of the prohibition. To what types of ketanim does it apply to? Under what circumstances does it apply? And how do those discussions reflect on the character of the prohibition as well? So let's get right to it. Let's get to the fundamental primary question of the character of the prohibition. Here, I think we find three different approaches amongst the Rishonim. The first one is quoted by the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen was of the opinion that the Torah prohibits adults to feed these non-kosher items to children because there's a prohibition to habituate minors to do averos. Very much like the opposite end, like the positive end of this idea, namely the obligation to be mechanech children to do mitzvos. So too, the Torah tells us that there's an obligation for adults to refrain from habituating children to do averos. So therefore, they're not allowed to feed non-kosher items to children, lest when these children become adults, they might continue that behavior, at which point it would be prohibited for them, forbidden for them to do so. That's the approach of the Trumas Hadeshen. And that might be the approach of the Rambam as well. So that's the first perspective. We'll name that the position of the Trumas Hadeshen. Second, the second approach is that of the Ramban. and this is found in the Ramban Ala Torah. The Ramban says that that adults are not allowed to feed these items to children because we're not allowed to cause minors to do averus. Not necessarily because of the concern for habituation, but rather because of the avera itself. That even though a katan, a child, is not subject to obligations and prohibitions, him or herself, because they're not considered b'nei das, they're not considered mature, but nonetheless, it's problematic for an adult to cause the minor to do an avera. And this probably would be very, very similar to the avera of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, that one adult is not allowed to facilitate an avera that's done by another adult. And in fact, some of the Achronim are bothered by what's the difference between lifnei iver on the one hand and this idea of isur sefia lekatan, feeding non-kosher items to children, on the other. So there are different approaches that are taken in the Achronim. Reb Chaim Ozer in the Shod Ach Yezer, Chelek Gimel Simit Pei Aleph, so he suggests that lifnei iver applies only when the person who's being misled can't perform the avera without the facilitation of the person misleading him. But in contrast, the iser sefia would apply regardless any time that you feed a non-kosher item to a katan. Even if he could have eaten it on his own, it's still going to be prohibited. That would be one difference between the two isurim. Rav Elchanan Wasserman in Kovei Ta'aros, Simon Ayin Hey Seif Aleph, he explains that lifnei iver applies only when you have a michshol, which literally means a stumbling block, which is defined as something that's prohibited to the person being misled. But since ketanim are not subject to isurim and obligations, so you can't call the avera a michshol with respect to the katan because he's not violating any prohibition when he does that avera. So therefore, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol is not going to apply to a katan. However, this idea of lo sa'achilum, don't feed non-kosher items to ketanim, that's going to apply specifically to a katan. So the Achronim give different answers as to what the difference is between this idea of lo sa'achilum, don't feed non-kosher items to children, and the prohibition of lifnei iver. But whether this way or that way, the nature of the iser seems to be that there's a prohibition to cause minors to do an avera, regardless of whether that's going to lead to habituation in the future. Just the mere causing of the avera is the problem. Now, there is another secondary question that we should ask here, which gets to a fundamental point, which is, why should there be any problem to cause a katan to do an avera if the katan is not obligated in mitzvos? Why should it matter if the katan does the avera? After all, the katan's not obligated. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman, in the same piece, explains a very, very important precept. And that is that although ketanim are not subject to obligations and to prohibitions, nonetheless, what he calls the sibas ha'isur, which means the effects and the harm of prohibitions, the bases for the prohibitions, are just as much relevant to ketanim as they are to gedolim. We can't obligate and prohibit ketanim because they're not b'nei das. They don't have the maturity to be able to follow instruction, to follow a commandment. But at the same time, whatever harm an avera would do to an adult, it would do the same to a katan. And therefore, we shouldn't expose ketanim to dvarim ho'asurim, to prohibited items. Okay, so what we've seen so far is two approaches to why an adult is obligated or prohibited to feed non-kosher to children. One is out of concern for habituation, that's a trumas hadeshen. Number two is because there's an inherent problem with causing a minor to do an avera, and perhaps because of the adverse effect that the avera is going to have on the katan. That's the Ramban, and as we quoted Rav Elchanan Wasserman. There is a third approach to why it's prohibited to feed non-kosher items to a katan, and that is based on a different source for the prohibition. So far, we've assumed that the source for the prohibition comes from our parsha, from lo sochilu, lo sa'achilum. We interpret the phrase lo sochilu as lo sa'achilum. Not only should you not eat non-kosher foods, but you should also not feed them to ketan. However, the Medrash Halacha, the Sifra, the Torah's Kohanim, has a different pasuk from which we derive this prohibition to feed non-kosher, to feed non-kosher to ketanim, and that is the pasuk back in Parshas Shmini, Lo ye'achilu sheketz heim, that bugs should not be eaten, they should not be consumed, because they're off limits, they're disgusting. So says the Sifra, from here we derive that anyone who is ma'achil, anyone who feeds, is considered like someone who is ochel, is considered like someone who eats the non-kosher item himself. What's the connection between being ma'achil and being ochel? Why would I draw a common denominator between feeding to someone else and consuming myself? So apparently what the Sifra has in mind is what my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig likes to term achilas hacheftza, where there's a prohibition for the item to be consumed. The prohibition relates more to the item than it does to the person. So here the Torah tells us that bugs and the like are certain foods or things that should not be consumed in any manner. So one mode in which they could be consumed is by us eating them. But another manner in which, another mode in which they could be consumed is by us feeding them to other people. We're causing their consumption. And the problem is the reality in which they're being consumed. Achilas hachefza. The fact that the object is being eaten, is being consumed. There's a very similar idea with respect to chametz, but that's not for now. The way that the Medrash gets this, the way that the Medrash derives this, is from the phrase lo ye'achilu, which is a passive phrase. It says these should not be eaten. It doesn't say lo sochlu, don't eat, but rather lo ye'achilu, they should not be eaten. The bugs, the non-kosher items, they should not be consumed. So the same way that you're not allowed to eat it yourself, you're also not allowed to feed it to a katan, because both of those are different instantiations, both of those are different applications of the same fundamental concept, which is that we are not allowed to cause the consumption of the prohibited item. So all in all, we have three different approaches to this idea that adults are not allowed to feed non-kosher to children. Number one, habituation, the Trumas Hadeshen. Number two, we shouldn't cause minors to do averos, that's the Ramban. And number three, we shouldn't cause a prohibited item to be consumed, that's based on the Sifra and the equation between ma'achil and ochel, one who feeds and one who eats himself. These different approaches are subject to many practical ramifications. So let's begin as follows. What is the scope of ketanim? What is the set of children to whom this prohibition of Sophia applies? So there's a machlokas amongst the Achronim. The Bach, as understood by the Machatzis HaShekel in Orach Chaim, Semdresh Samech Tes, Seif Aleph, he assumes that this prohibition applies only to a katan who's higia lechinuch, only to a katan who has reached the age where chinuch, education applies to him. So if you have a little baby, so the little baby's not higia lechinuch. The little baby can't even think yet. So to this prohibition, according to this approach, would not apply to a baby, but it would apply to someone who's higia lechinuch, depending on his or her age, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is. However, that's not the way that we paskin halach lemaisa. The Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim Shin Mem Gimel, the implication of the Rama and the Mishnah Berurah there in Sif Gimel, says explicitly that the Isser Sefiyah, the prohibition to feed non-kosher items to children, applies even to someone who is not a bar havana, even to a little baby, to an infant. Doesn't matter. It's not dictated by higia lechinuch or not. Anyone who's a child is included in this prohibition. What's the nekudas hamachlokas? What's the root of the dispute between these two different perspectives in the Achronim as to whether the ketanim included in this prohibition applies only to the children who are higia lechinuch, or even to someone who's not a bar havana, even to the smallest of ketanim, even to an infant? So perhaps the nekudas hamachlokas revolves around the nature of the prohibition. If the prohibition is, as the Trumas Hadeshen assumed, a prohibition to habituate a katan, to get him in the habit of doing Yisurim, So then that might apply only to a katan who's higia l'chinuch. Because after all, when you have a little infant, so giving him a non-kosher item, although certainly probably not the best thing to do, but it wouldn't constitute a violation of this prohibition of sefia, because we're not worried that that's going to lead to habituation. We're worried about habituation only as it's the mirror of the positive chinuch. Just as positive chinuch applies only to a katan to whom chinuch is relevant, so too the negative chinuch, namely habituation towards doing Yisurim, applies only to a katan to whom education is relevant. So that would explain the position of the Bach, according to the Machtzis HaShekel, that this whole prohibition applies only to a katan who's Yigia Lechinuch. How would we explain the perspective according to which we pask in the Mishnah Brura that this applies even to a katan who's not a Bar Havana, even to the smallest of babies and infants? So we would explain as follows. If the prohibition is to cause to the katan to do an avera, or according to the sifra, to cause the prohibited item to be consumed, so then we wouldn't discriminate between a katan who's higia lechinuch, who's reached the age of chinuch, and a katan who hasn't. Whether he's higia lechinuch or not, we're still causing him to do the avera, to eat something that's prohibited, and we're still causing the prohibited item to be consumed. And therefore, we would rule, as we do halach lamaisa, that this prohibition applies even to the smallest of ketanim. Let's discuss another practical ramification of these different fundamental approaches to the prohibition. Let's say you have a certain case where feeding the prohibited item to the katan would actually be constructive. It would actually fulfill a positive purpose of chinuch. What type of case do I have in mind? So Tosfos in Maseches Psachim discusses a very interesting case. The background here is that the Torah tells us that in order to eat the Korban Pesach, one has to be registered for that Korban. That's called minui. You have to be registered for the Korban in order to eat the Korban. So Tosfos in Maseches Psachim, Daf Peches Amad Aleph, they say that one is allowed to feed the Korban Pesach to a child, even though the child is not considered registered for the Korban. And then Tosfos questions, why should that be the case? Because after all, we know from the Gemara and Yevamos, from the topic that we've discussed today, that one is not allowed to feed a prohibited item to a child. So if that's the case, why is one allowed to give the Korban Pesach to a child if the child is not registered for the Korban Pesach, and anyone who's not registered for the Korban Pesach is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach? That's the question of the Balei HaTosfos. Tosfos there explain that whenever there's chinuch mitzvah involved, whenever there's a constructive purpose, whenever the feeding is for the purpose of education, positive education, then the prohibition does not apply. And the Magen Avraham in Simin Shin Mem Gimel Sev Gimel, he derives from this Tosfos that to extend this to other cases as well. For example, to teach a child to blow the shofar even on Shabbos would be allowed according to the Magen Avraham. Or this happens all the time, to allow a katan to drink from the kiddush that's made in shul, even though that kiddush is not b'makom suda, and he'll be drinking before being yotze, before fulfilling the mitzvah of kiddush, says the Magen Avraham, it's for a constructive purpose, it's for chinuch, therefore it's permitted, it's allowed. That's the position of the Balei HaTosfos. But not everybody agrees with this assumption of Tosfos. Other Rishonim take other approaches to explain their question and resolve their question, and they don't assume that whenever there's a constructive purpose involved in feeding the prohibited item, that it would be allowed, that would be an exception. So what's the root of the dispute here between the Rishonim as to whether this prohibition to feed a non-kosher items, or in this case, a prohibited item, I wouldn't say a non-kosher item, which may be very important actually, but a prohibited item, whether the prohibition to feed a forbidden item to a katan applies even in a case where it's for a constructive purpose. So if we say that the prohibition is to assist a katan in doing an avera, to cause a katan to do an avera, so there could be an argument on both ends. On the one hand, we might limit this prohibition to items that inherently cause harm, that are ma'achalos asuros, like bugs and like blood. But that wouldn't apply to, for example, the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is not ma'achalos asuros. It's not an inherently prohibited item. It's just that the circumstances in which one is not registered for the Korban mean that you can't eat it. But on the other hand, we might say that any time that you're causing a katan to do an aveira, regardless of whether the item that he's consuming is inherently bad or inherently prohibited or not, so it would apply nonetheless. So too, if the prohibition is to habituate the katan to do averos, so then maybe when there's a positive element of chinuch involved, then we're not going to apply that prohibition. Because we assume that when he becomes an adult and he becomes registered on the korban, then what's happening now as a katan, which is prohibited because he's not registered, is actually going to turn into a mitzvah when he's a gadol, when he is registered, and he eats the korban pesach, then that's going to be the fulfillment of a mitzvah. So just to conclude, as we've seen, the whole category of ma'acholos asuros, prohibited items, are problematic not only because they're forbidden, which itself, of course, makes them problematic, but they can also cause a certain negative imprint on one's religious or spiritual persona. The Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim, he explains that ma'acholos asuros introduce a certain tumah, a certain noxious effect into a person that distances him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'achalos asuros are particularly toxic because they compromise man's inherent kedusha and they jeopardize his capacity to develop a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And as such, it's not surprising that even though ketanim are not subject to prohibitions and obligations, they are affected by ma'achalos asuros. And in turn, it's our obligation as adults to ensure that we don't feed these substances to ketanim, and by refraining from doing so, we train them to observe the laws of kashrus, and we protect their spiritual character and allow them to develop further their relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both during their childhood and ultimately into their adulthood. Wish everybody a great rest of the week and a good Shabbos. See you next week.